I'm Indy Todd. Welcome to The Point. Later in the hour, a sneak peek at some of the films in this year's Woods Hole Film Festival. But first, we head to Martha's Vineyard. Inside a West Tisbury barn, rehearsals are underway for Wendy Tauscher Dance Opera Theater's upcoming performances of Donizetti's Don Pasquale, No Fool Like an Old Fool. The comic opera, which will be performed at Featherstone Center for the Arts, features nationally known musicians who hail from some of the best companies and conservatories in the country. Lisa Williamson as Norina, Spencer Hamlin as Ernesto, Daniel Schofield as Malatesta, and Andrew Bogard as Pasquale.
So go back it up from da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and then see if you can get Marilyn in for about a bar.
This is not a traditional performance, but what director and choreographer Wendy Tauscher calls salon opera.
Wendy, tell us what a salon opera is.
Well, it's a name I gave operas that we do that are either abridged or designed for a particular occasion. Like we do food festivals, so we do, there's a lot of drunken opera songs and food, glorious food, you know, from Broadway, things like that. So they're meant to be performed in any setting with very few props, if no props at all. That's the ones I like the best, no props, and not much furniture. So I kind of coined that phrase.
Yeah. So what would be the difference of the salon opera versus the full opera? Yeah.
Well, this full opera, for instance, if we were doing the full version, we would do all the recitatives.
The term recitative refers to a style of delivery that imitates the rhythms and natural inflections of speech.
I like to tell the story with the gestures and things like that, so they're pretty active. Wouldn't you guys say they're active?
Yes.
Based on normal opera staging? But so a full-length opera could be staged exactly this way, except it would have all the recitatives with it. Which are, they're very interesting musically and language-wise, but if you don't speak the language, it's not so interesting.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you about that, because this is done in Italian, but you're adding some English explanation, so to speak, to the story.
Yeah. So we try and make that entertaining as opposed to, and now the singer is going to sing a love duet. And sometimes, like this duet, you get it. It's a love duet. We like to do it in a creative way, and I really feel like, as opposed to distracting from the story, it adds to the story, but more importantly, it adds to the enjoyment of the music. Most of these tunes, whether they're arias or ensemble numbers, they repeat a lot of the words. So the specific narrative in each tune is pretty short. But if the audience knows a little bit about what they're singing, it just makes the music more enjoyable, because the composers are clever. They're kind of giving you a lot of hints. One thing we were working on earlier today is when they've kind of successfully tricked Pasquale, we're overlaying these kind of real quick theatrical things where the people who've played the trick kind of, they have a little conspiracy that Pasquale doesn't see, and then in a split second they have to hide that. So we're overlaying hints to the audience, overlaying the music and the Italian. So, mm-hmm.
Wendy, how important is it that you add humor to these?
Super important, because they were written as, they were really the musical comedy of their day, where rich and poor saw them, and you don't really have to make up too much stuff because it's already there. The stories are silly, but the way the music is written, they're meant to be over the top in a good way. So, you know, very important.
In addition to the four singers, there's an added narrator for the production. Erica Pearson is the on-the-spot news anchor providing English language color commentary.
The idea is that I'll be like the man on the street sort of trying to, I don't know, concisely make up 150 pages of recitative that was cut in short interviews with the various characters in the opera. And then, as Wendy was mentioning earlier, there are pop-ups before the musical numbers that set up, give a very brief, like a one or two sentence explanation of the next one or two or three musical numbers that follow. So people have some basic understanding of the language that they're about to hear. And then the way Wendy directs, it's pretty clear what that language is. She's very visual, and it really helps the audience to understand a language that they don't speak. But she has found that giving them a few words in a language they do speak really helps. So that's the idea this year. I'll be the man on the street.
And Wendy, I think it's a brilliant idea because, you know how opera fans love opera, and then you've got this other group that, let's just say, don't like it so much.
Right. Well, my friend Miles Jaffe, in one of our show books, wrote an essay for us called I Hate Opera. And then a really wonderful sculptor on the island, Barney Zeitz, he wrote a piece on why I love opera. And so we do get some people who hate opera, they never come. But others come and they end up, I'm happy to say, we have a lot of people say, I've never enjoyed opera before, or I've never been to an opera, this was so much fun. So that's been kind of great. But I'm also happy to say a lot of serious opera fans end up enjoying this too. So, you know, and I'm sure some people don't like these productions, you know, I mean, I'm not bragging, but we do get a lot of great comments from different types of people. The one I like the best is, I've never seen an opera before, I never wanted to go, and this was so much fun.
Who has thoughts on that? Because I'm assuming some of you are doing like the standard opera. Do you feel a difference? And Lisa, you're kind of nodding your head. Do you feel a difference in a performance like this?
I do. Well, what I love is that, especially with Wendy's direction, she has a way of making you look at things so differently. And especially for those who aren't familiar with the Italian language, it's so much fun. And so you take a moment and you just absorb it. And it's like, oh, that's a great perspective. And to be able to work that in, it makes it so much fun, so much fun. Not only for performing, but I think for the audience as well.
Do all of you speak Italian or just sing in Italian? You're not, you all speak Italian. Okay.
Poco, poco, poco.
You could get by. I wanted to ask you, too, this is a really difficult thing, I think, to do, what you do with your voices. You really treat it like an instrument. It really is like an instrument. And it is amazing to me what comes out of your mouths. And I'd like to kind of just maybe go down the line and talk to each of you about how you got involved in this and your thoughts on how you keep that instrument fine-tuned, Lisa.
Practice, 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 practice. And having a team, coaches, a teacher, and the maestro here, Ed Bach here, he is just amazing at helping us, especially in this type of production where it's not a standard stand and sing, or here are a few pieces of blocking, but it's very active in movement. And so to be able to say, oh, this might help you think about this, and this might help you here, so it's really a great team effort.
I'm going to go back to Ed in a second, but so how did you get involved? When did you know you wanted to be an opera singer?
I knew from the time I was a little girl, I loved music, and then I found opera and thought, oh, this is so amazing, but I love to do a lot of crossover, and so that's what I do, but I love opera, so.
Same question. How did you get involved in?
I was a classical musician. I played in orchestra for about 12 years, and on the side, I also sang in choir and acted, and actually in theater, I did the technical aspects of it. I did lighting, sound design, and when I was about 14, I woke up and my voice went, oh. And they said, man, we need some low voices. And then opera kind of is the marriage of that classical music scene and the theater scene. And so it kind of found me in that way.
I had little to no operatic exposure until I got to college. And I also played a few instruments growing up and sang in choirs and did musical theater and stuff like that. And then my voice teacher bullied me into being in Die Fledermaus, and I was like, actually, this is really cool. And I didn't have very much exposure to it. So once I kind of figured out what it was all about, I came to really enjoy it, and I
never turned back.
Yeah.
Well, I started out as a nuclear engineer for the first couple of years of college. Then the first stage show that I ever did, I was 20. And I immediately got bitten by this feeling like I needed to do this.
Yeah. Now, those who were singing before in the choirs and things, is this a very different way you use your voice now? Once you got, you're both shaking your head. Yes.
Yeah. There's some level of overlap, but it's just in terms of properly using your voice and your breath support and stuff. But like singing chamber choir music and stuff like that is completely different than this.
You agree?
Yeah, I would say with choirs, a lot of time what you're doing is working on creating a set of overtones with your voice that blend, especially blend with the other voices. But with opera singing, you're kind of trying to maximize the amount of overtones that you're getting, and still beautiful, beautiful sound, but you have to project over 100 people or something.
You're listening to The Point. We'll talk more after a quick break.
So go back it up from da 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 da.
You're listening to The Point. We're visiting Martha's Vineyard and the rehearsal of the Wendy Tauscher Dance Opera Theater. Tauscher again teams up with music director Ed Bach.
All right, Ed, how do you help them pull out the best of what's inside of them?
Well, first of all, these people are being very modest about who they are and what backgrounds they come from. Lisa has performed several times in Carnegie Hall. Andrew was a student at the very most prestigious and competitive school of music in the country, the Curtis Institute. Spencer showed up at Martina Arroyo's program as a young man and jumped into one of the most difficult roles written for the tenor that has the famous nine high Cs that Pavarotti became famous for singing, and he just jumped in very happily. And Dan is so busy, we were very lucky to get him here because he had to negotiate with the next performance he's doing to be absent for their first rehearsal. It's a fantastic group, and I call them ear candy. So working with them is a real pleasure, and it's very easy. I said, try this, and they do it instantly. And bel canto music really uses the human voice as an instrument, and so all sorts of colors and all sorts of flexibility and phrasing the lines is not the same as you would do in other music. It has to be a very well-oiled machine. So we chose very carefully who could be part of this production. And on top of that, they have to look cute and funny and have skills at acting in comedy. And everyone here is fantastic. This specific crew hasn't worked together before. Some of us know each other, and some of us are just meeting for the first time.
That was the other thing I was going to ask you about. I mean, you're singers, really, but there's a lot of acting involved here, and it kind of, you've got two hats on, really. You're thinking about the acting portion of what you're doing and the singing part of what you're doing and all this active stuff that Wendy has going on. Does that kind of come to you naturally, or do you really have to work at it?
I think that much like everything that we do on stage, it's naturally inherent, but it still needs focus and attention and constant vigilance so that we can improve as we age, because nobody's born a great actor or a great singer. You're born with talents that allow you to become that.
Is it fun doing
things?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah. We sing and we play around on stage for a living and get paid for it and make a living off of it. So I can't imagine a more interesting way to try to live a life.
All right. So I heard Wendy say that lift was improv. Whose idea was that? Yours, Dan? That was your idea?
There was this wonderful musical, really short, ha, 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 ha. And the music grew with it. And so I thought, gosh, the rest of the music is lifting off, and it just drops right into this really funny patter section with the bass. And I said, what if we just lifted him up there and had him transported?
Yeah, and that really works. And so you're open to those things.
I'm very open. And what I wanted to kind of say when you asked about the acting is, Ed and I, when we cast these shows, we cast singers who we know like this world. There's some singers who maybe aren't as interested in the theatrical elements of it. And so when I audition people, I actually do an acting and an improv audition, which is unusual for opera. So we kind of cast, this we cast perfectly, because I set up, so you could see when we were rehearsing, some things were very specific and some are kind of loose. So these guys, in that number, for instance, I had like the outline and they were kind of cooking themselves too. So it's really fun to work with them because I don't have to, it's really a team effort. I mean, I know what I'm doing and I'm very you know, you create an atmosphere where they're safe to try stuff, but they try really good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes it's like, that doesn't work for this, and this doesn't work for that, but mostly it's, oh, let's keep that, let's keep that, let's keep this, do this, 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 so.
Now, you have three performances, mm-hmm. and we can see that they're all working hard to perfect that, but I heard that you give them Sundays off as long as it's going well.
Oh, I no, actually, even if it's, well, it hasn't never gone well but after the first week, and after the second week, we have a three-week run, a three-week rehearsal period complete, including the performances. So if we're in trouble by that second Sunday, I'm in trouble.
But no, they, Sunday off if you're not
well,
yet.
Yeah, actually, I would give them the day off just because they need the day off. Because we were all pretty punchy by Saturday, right?
Yeah.
You know, so I actually, they're actually productive, the days off. And they're on Martha's Vineyard, so
right.
Everybody
beautiful
likes to run around.
Exactly. And yeah, probably that sort of downtime gives you time to sort of think things through and maybe come up with some of these ideas like the lift. Anybody have any other thoughts they'd like people to know? Yeah, go ahead, Ed.
We were speaking about how we sort of condense the show and replace recitatives with a sort of narrative. There is nothing at all missing from these operas when we do the editing. Either the story is told through action or by the actual words that our man on the street is going to speak. She, the man on the street, doesn't translate every single word that's been removed from the recitatives. But in general, in recitative, the action of the story is moved forward and we get to a point where the character crystallizes one emotion and sings about it. So it's less active dramatically when they sing in Italian. And we know where the characters are at that point, so if they're singing a love duet, we don't really need a translation, and the text is not the driving thing there, it's the emotion. So Wendy and the whole team finds a way to tell the whole story with cutting all the words in Italian that the audience won't understand. But we do tell them the whole story.
I'm seeing, and you're all talking about this team effort here, and I'm wondering, you know, something works or it doesn't work. When it comes down to it, do you and Wendy always agree?
Very much. Wendy and I have a lot of experience working together already, and there's a level of trust. Sometimes I can't exactly follow the process, but I know that the result is going to be fantastic. And you can ask Wendy how she feels working with me, but usually there's 99% agreement, and we follow each other quickly.
That's a tough thing to find a partner like that, right?
Which is, I've been really thrilled because Ed's now well into his third year with us as a team. And I would say we either agree, or sometimes if it's a musical, issue or something, I would defer to him because I am trained. I'm a trained classical musician, but I didn't study voice, and so there's some things that he just knows a lot more about, including with casting. He's very involved with casting on the intricacies of certain composers and who can sing certain composers. But we've never had a fight nobody's ever stomped out of the room or anything exciting like that. And those things do happen.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. No opera.
No drama other than the written drama, right?
Yeah.
Only on the stage.
Yeah. Anybody else have anything else?
I just like to thank all the people who support us and make it possible for us to come here and do this work. It's such a great privilege, and without their support, we wouldn't be able to be here. So really, I think we're all grateful in that.
Don Pasquale will be performed July 28th, 29th, and 30th at 7 p.m. rain or shine at Featherstone Center for the Arts in Oak Bluffs. More information at our website, capeandislands.org. Coming up after a break, a sneak peek at some of the films in this year's Woods Hole Film Festival.